The following is a presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
And go we will. Welcome on into the weekend. That is the sound of your weekend officially beginning right here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. We've got a lot to get to today, that is for sure, as we'll be joined with Taryn Thompson coming up about a quarter past the hour, setting a record yesterday, or not yesterday, but setting a world record earlier on this last month there in July at the Cowboy Mounted Shooting Association National Championships down south in Lincoln, Nebraska, hitting all 10 balloons at 11.863 seconds. And first and foremost, before we bring in Taryn Thompson, I've got some egg on my face. I totally screwed this up. We talked about this literally, 2 weeks ago, give or take? And I think I said Taryn Traphagen. I'm just so accustomed to her doing every other sport. So I said, wow, what else can Taryn Traphagen do? It wasn't Taryn Traphagen. It was Taryn Thompson. I misread the post in the first place. So I don't think anybody called me on that, but I felt really, really bad about that. So I have egg on my face. So that's you can hit the old admonish button on that one. But Taryn Thompson, she'll be joining us here a quarter past the hour. Looking forward to that discussion there with her. And then for all of you Minnesota Twins fans, yes, we've got a lot to get to, certainly towards the bottom of the hour, as Twins Daily's Cody Christie, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. And to be frank, we had Cody slated to join us here towards the back half of the work week anyway, but we weren't necessarily thinking that we were going to be talking about a completely different franchise going forward as they trade or release or what have you, 40% of their roster. Yesterday on, or at least over the last couple of days here, they traded nearly 40% of their team this week. They made 9 deals, including 7 swaps leading up to the deadline there. Yesterday, key players like Carlos Correa is gone. Chris Paddock, multiple relievers. Their bullpen has been completely gutted. We'll talk about that with Cody Christie coming up here towards the bottom of the hour. Fun discussion with him. I don't know if he's going to tell you to stay off the ledge or to jump. I don't know. But nevertheless, going to be a fun conversation there with Cody Christie towards the bottom of the hour. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobra here on a Friday per usual. Happy Friday, sir. How are things?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Not too shablinsky. Looking forward to the weekend ahead. Looking forward to more football talk here in the not-too-distant future. Looking forward to a fun discussion here. I think it's going to be fun with Cody Christie. Boy, I tell you what, Twins fans are waking up in a haze this morning. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I'm just glad that I guess they went in a direction, because they've always been on the fringe. Do you buy or you sell? Well, they sold, and now fans, I just feel bad for Twins fans, because we talked about it yesterday. You almost went to the ALCS 2 seasons ago, and now you're here, and you blew the whole thing up. So bad day for Twins fans, and the rebuild has really started yesterday at about 6 o'clock because they made they traded about a third of their team is just gone. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild for sure. He is the Cobra. Let's go ahead and toss this thing up in the air for the jump on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I said, let me go ahead and toss this thing skyward for the jump. Thank you, clicker over here. Pointer clicker must be no good. I got a right click on everything? What's going on? But, yeah, the Twins have been completely blown up, feels like, and I saw Rusty retweet this on social media. Got a really good kick out of it. And it says, as I get my sheets here in front of me, I'm stuck together. What's going on here? Sheesh. Contrary to popular belief, the Canadian wildfires are not to blame for the smoke in the Twin Cities. It's actually emanating from a dumpster fire at One Twins Way. Man, it's just an all-time day for sure for the Minnesota Twins. So definitely feel for you. We'll talk about that at length towards the bottom of the hour.
I got a pretty funny tweet, too, I saw.
Yeah, hit me.
Byron Buxton said they can't trade me. I have a no-trade clause, and the Twins proceeded to trade everybody else on their active roster.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that little viral clip went wild there. I think it was last week or, you know, it was during
the All-Star break,
yeah. It's like, yeah, I got a no-trade clause. It's like, well, watch this. Hold my Gatorade. We're going to trade all of your teammates. So they got that going for them. So if you watched any preseason football there last night between the Chargers and the Lions, you'd note that NDSU quarterback Trey Lance played pretty well. He did a very, very solid job. He was 13 for 20, buck 20, two touchdowns, no picks. Quarterback rating of 114.6. Chargers win the game for what it's worth, 34-7. And if I'm management, I'm probably firing everybody for the Detroit Lions. Clearly, they need to get this thing going together and get this thing going in the right direction. It's got to start with Dan Campbell. I think he's got to go. He's got to be fired for sure. But they did have a really cool moment there last night in the game as Brent Musburger, he joined Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth in the booth. And I thought to myself, Brent Musburger, man, he's been doing it for a lot of years for sure. He's 86 years old. I didn't realize he's that old. But
he's doing the Raiders.
Yeah, he was doing the Raiders here, I think, up until a couple of years ago. I think he's officially stepped down from that post. But yeah, I mean, he was still pretty sharp, pretty still with it. 86 years old, and just seeing Brent Musburger on social media, this old gem popped up, and you know exactly where I'm going with this one.
You see that lovely lady there? She does go to Auburn. I want to admit that. But she also, this Alabama, and that's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay? And right there on the right is Dee Dee Bonner. That's A.J.'s mom. Wow, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women. What a beautiful woman.
Wow. A.J.'s doing some things right down
there. So if you're a youngster in Alabama, start getting the football out and throw it around the backyard with Pop.
Oh, I'll never forget that one. That's an all-timer from Brent Musburger. Remember that one?
Yeah, I do. That's an all-time clip. That's classic Brent Musburger, and that's phenomenal. That always pops up on the feed every once in a while, and I'm glad that popped up again there yesterday.
No question about it. I love just the multiple, oh, wow, wow, oh, oh, yeah. Some of those got me for a couple of laughs for sure. Also on social media, this popped up, and I thought to myself, this is absolute jump material, 10 times out of 10. What's the craziest sport stat you've ever seen? What's the craziest sports statistic that you have ever seen? Now, you know me, diehard Seattle Seahawks fan. I've got my Seattle Seahawks polo on right now. And somebody quote tweeted this and said, Walter Jones, of course, he was their left tackle for a lot of years. He has as many Pro Bowl selections as career holding penalties. 9.
Wow.
9 Pro Bowl selections there for Big Walt. 9 holding penalties for him back in his illustrious Seahawks career. Any idea on what's an amazing stat? I got a boatload of them that I'd like to share, but anything off the top of your head jump off the page?
I'm trying to think of a stat. I was thinking maybe of like Cal Ripken Jr.'s games played. That was the first thing that popped in my head. I'd have to do a little bit more research on it to come up with maybe a good one that I may have seen.
Yeah, there's some really, really good ones. Larry Fitzgerald has more tackles than dropped passes in his career, which is just nuts. This one from the region, Maya Moore, of course, great WNBA player from the Minnesota Lynx. Throughout her entire playing career, spanning 4 years in high school, 4 years at UConn and 7 years with the Lynx, never went more than 1 year without winning the whole thing. Three straight high school championships, two out of four there at UConn, and four of seven in Minnesota. Two gold medals there as well. That's a pretty decorated athlete.
That's a pretty good career, to say the least.
This is also one I didn't have. Karl Malone, 332 career technical fouls.
That's a lot.
332. I didn't know that he had that many.
Wonder where Draymond Green is.
I'm glad you asked. He's got only 131.
What?
I know. That made no sense.
200 more than Draymond Green?
Did not have that on my bingo card. I thought the exact same thing. I'm like, I guarantee you Cobra's going to be like, gee, I wonder how many Draymond Green has. Because most people would say, oh, he's got to be up there too. Not even close.
Not even close. That's crazy. That's a good one.
That's a really, really good one. And finally, back on, I think it was either opening day or week two from 2004, Jerome Bettis, towards the tail end of his career, he was basically just a short yardage guy. Five carries, 1 yard, three touchdowns. In a game there for him. So, yeah, some crazy classic NFL and just sports stats out there.
Well, Jerome Bettis, he was the bust for a reason. I guess short yardage situations, just give him the ball. Hey, we got 6 inches to go. Let's give him the ball. He can just dive into the end zone. Doesn't matter how old he is. No one's tackling him.
Yeah, or unless, you know, he coughs the ball up at the 1 yard line like he did against the Colts, he's still thanking Ben Roethlisberger for that tackle.
Yeah, that's a good throwback, too. Who recovered that fumble? Was it Bob Sanders, or was he the one who caused it?
I think it was Nick Harper, I want to say.
Yeah. He probably still thinks about that, not getting into the end zone.
How do you not outrun Big Ben Roethlisberger?
And then the field goal kicker missed the kick. Vanderjack wasn't even close.
Missed
indoors.
By 30 yards.
It's just nothing like when you see a kicker miss a kick like that, nothing's worse. Nothing in the NFL is worse, in my opinion.
Just blame the wind.
Yeah.
It's a dome.
Dome. Anything under like 35 to 40 yards, like anything under 40 indoors for a win, I mean, you got to make that kick.
Now, it's for a tie. It was for a tie.
It was for a tie.
Because they lost. But still, it doesn't matter. For a win, tie, this is the AFC Championship game. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl. It was a divisional round, actually. But nevertheless.
Nothing is worse than watching your team play in the NFL and your kicker misses the kick from like 35 yards. I just go to Billy Cundiff in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
That's what I think about. So, yeah, sorry to just bash all field goal kickers out there, but it's the way I feel about it.
Well, to be fair, today is Jeremy Caruso days away from kickoff for Northern State. Remember that 38-yarder that he drilled to win the ball game against Duluth for the first time since 1999 to beat them there?
Yep.
Shout out to Jeremy Caruso. Today's your day.
Yeah. Big shout out to him. I'm not going to bash him. He had a nice kick.
There you go. Coming up next on the program, we're going to talk with Taryn Thompson. She'll be joining us on the phone line. Taryn, are you with us?
I am with you.
All right. Very good. I just love a good Friday in terms of just technology crunches. Those are always fun, aren't they?
That was tough.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, Taryn, thanks for battling with us. Thanks for hanging with us. We appreciate you taking some time out of your Friday morning. How are things?
It's going pretty good. I'm glad to be here. I'm really happy for this. I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. We are too. And we would have liked to have you in studio, but you're out of state right now. So where are you at right now?
I am in Iowa, Creston, Iowa. So I'm actually competing down here the next 3 days.
Gotcha. So yeah, you're going to be a very, very busy gal here. So this was a couple of weeks ago, officially a new world record for you at the Cowboy Mounted Shooting Association National Championships in Lincoln, Nebraska. Matt sent me the video of it earlier on this morning. And first and foremost, how does one get into this? And, I mean, can you kind of walk us through sort of your history in this sport?
So it was originally my mom who kind of got into the sport. She was actually looking. So my brother used to do reining and I did barrels, and it was just too much to have two kids go in two completely different disciplines. So my mom looked up like Western Family Fun Sports on Facebook, and Cowboy Mounted Shooting came up. So I originally started this when I was a kid, and I was put into the Wrangler program, which I actually volunteer and help out with today. It's any kids from 2 to 12, and you're pretty much just going through the course and kind of like getting a hold of what you can do and seeing, like getting course management, how far away from the balloons you need to be. And so that way, when you can start shooting at the age of 13, you're going to grow and excel more in the sport.
So did you know, like, you were really good at it right away? Did you take some practice? Like, when did you know that, hey, this is something that, A, I enjoy, and B, I'm really good at?
When I was 9. So I was in the Wrangler program, and it kind of took flight, and I enjoyed it a lot. And then I started shooting with guns, and it did not go the way that I exactly wanted it to at first. But after a couple of years of practicing it, I started to really enjoy it and realize that this was my passion and this is what I wanted to do for the next couple of years.
We're talking with Taren Thompson here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Okay, so I guess a follow-up there is, what are you shooting beforehand? Are we talking like BB guns or water pistols? I mean, obviously it's a little bit different than an actual gun. I'm not sure. Are they live bullets? I mean, what did you start before actually shooting guns?
So during the Wrangler program, you actually just have the guns and you don't shoot at all.
Okay.
But when you're 13 and you start shooting, you have little bullets and it's just black powder inside. So it's not an actual bullet. It only goes 15 feet.
Okay.
But that's what we use.
Gotcha. Okay.
When I watched the video earlier this morning, I was just amazed of the precision, the discipline, just the balance, because you're on a horse.
Yes.
Did that take a while to kind of figure all that out, or what kind of training did you do to kind of get where you are today?
Yeah, so I did a lot of reining background, because doing this sport, you definitely need to make sure that you trust your horse 100%. So doing trail classes with them, going and doing reining, barrel racing, really just doing anything with your horse that can help you connect and get more used to it and just have more of a bond is going to help you in any sort of way.
Do you ever work with a horse that you don't get along with, whether that's just being kind of extra bumpy, or maybe they just kind of, I don't know, buck you off or something like that? I mean, how long does it take to kind of get comfortable with a horse and to have that sort of bond, like you mentioned?
I would say at least a year. I've gotten on some horses that don't like me, or I don't particularly like them. But once you give it about a year or so of just riding and connecting, I think that you eventually start to figure out your horse, and your horse will start to figure you out, and you'll get going.
So I think at least
a year.
So how would you say you pick up speed and maybe shave off your time? Like, what are some of the process? Is it all the horse? Is it the precision with the shooting? I mean, I'm a pretty novice when talking about this stuff, so I'm just kind of curious, you know, how you kind of shave off time in events.
A little bit of all of it. So you're going to learn how fast your horse can go and how fast you shoot. For me especially, it's taking long shots, because my horse is not the tallest. He is not the fastest out there. But he can turn, and he is very catty, which means like able to pick up speed really fast. So for me, it was learning that I need to shoot way behind me if I want to hit a 20-foot shot. So I think it depends on the horse that you're riding and how well of a shooter you are.
Okay, when you said caddy, I thought you were talking about something completely different there. So we're gonna be talking about terms and things and phrases that both Matt and I are not necessarily privy to. So I'm glad you said that. More often than not, I feel like a lot of times when it comes to horse racing, the jockeys say stuff like, well, I didn't choose the horse. The horse chose me. Is that similar to you in this respect? Or is this like a feeling out process? You mentioned it takes a full year. I mean, how many horses did you have to go through till you figured out which one is the right one? And is it fair to say the horse kind of chose you, or is it vice versa?
A little bit. So the horse is going to it's only going to perform as much as it likes the rider. So if it does not like the rider, it's not going to listen to you. But after a while, it'll get used to what you want. But I went through multiple horses before I found one that liked me, and we really clicked and we got along. But even to this day, I ride 6 horses, and you kind of just got to get through it. Eventually, you'll start to click and get going.
So when talking about like an event or something like that, can you kind of just walk us through what that looks like? Are you know, waiting a long time to go? Is there a big field, those kinds of things? And just kind of walk us through that a little bit, because my guess is, you know, you got to be patient at times.
Oh, yeah. So you wake up and the shoot will start around 8 a.m. And then that's when the Wranglers will go, all the little kids. And then cowboy mounted shooting is divided into six classes. You have ones through sixes. So you normally start off with the ones, you go through the beginners, and then you go to the, not experts, but the ones who have been doing it longer and the more of the pros. So I normally have to wait until it's 1-2-ish to ride. So I'm kind of waiting all day. I'm riding more horses in the morning, and then I'll get out my shooting horse for that, and then I'll ride in the afternoon.
Taryn Thompson joining us here, Fox Sports Aberdeen. This is phenomenal to me because it's just so out of the norm of things that we typically talk about. We're big on the superstition and kind of a game day routine. What's kind of your game day routine looking like in terms of maybe food intake? You know, some people, they got to have a purple Gatorade or something like that before they get underway. Are you big into superstitions or not so much?
Not so much. So I actually do like to have a coffee. I try and run my day. If I have a good day one day, I will try and run my day exactly like that the next couple days. So I guess a little bit, but I do like to have a coffee in the morning, and then I don't eat much before you run because just because of all of, like, your nerves, you'll, like, get a little bit sick if you eat so much. Mm-hmm. So I make sure that I get a good breakfast, and then I have a very good supper.
Do you watch any, like, film or anything on where to, like, hey, I go back, watch one of, you know, a race or something like that, and you say, hey, you know, I need to improve in this area or that area, or is it more of a feel thing?
No, so it is definitely a feel and looking back on. So I think I've become much better when I go back and look at all my mistakes, because the only way that you're ever going to get better is by making those mistakes and correcting them. So going back, seeing what you did wrong, seeing what you can improve, and even having other people come up and say, hey, like, you could improve on this, it helps so much.
Taryn Thompson joining us. Go ahead.
This might be a dumb question. Do you have, like, a coach or anything like that?
I would consider my mom and my brother to be my coaches. My brother has helped me so much along the way. If I don't know how to run something and he's in school, I'll call him and say, Turner, hey, I need some help. Like, I'm not exactly sure how to do this. And he'll call me. He'll be in school. He'll walk me through it. Even, like, my mom, if I'm struggling with a horse, she'll tell me how to relax and really feel that horse and get it underneath you.
Gotcha. So you set the record here a couple of weeks ago, 11.863 seconds. Walk us through the run, if that's the right way to describe it, the run. You hit all 10 balloons there in 11.863 seconds. Did you kind of know that day that things were going to kind of shape out well for you, or is just a day where the stars aligned? I mean, obviously you've been doing this long enough, you're pretty good at it, but that day in particular, you were really special.
Yeah, so that day I was actually really nervous to walk into the arena. I was the youngest one in my division by a long ways, and most of those gals have been doing it for 20 plus years.
Oh.
So I was really nervous, but I had all faith in my horse. I was really just going out to have a good time. I didn't even know that a world record was on the line. But I kind of went out and I sent him in there. Like, I was going all for it, or I was going to walk home with nothing. So that's kind of how you got to have it in your head, is you need a run or you're going to get second, third. So I ran up there. I kind of slowed him down, shot all my balloons. And after I did that, I was amazed that I shot my first five. But I went around the barrel and I pushed him a lot. I was so, so, so incredibly happy with myself and how far he's come and how well we've done within the past year.
What was your initial reaction when you see the time on the board? You're like, oh my goodness, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I was really happy. I did really think I had a chance. So I was like, oh my goodness, this is a really exciting moment for me. You know, I can't tell if it was the nerves before the run or what happened, but, like, I just had that adrenaline rush just going through my body. It was a good feeling.
Yeah. Did you know that it was a record and immediately, or was that just like, oh, that's a really, really good time, I wonder where that shakes out, or did you kind of know?
No. So I thought I just had a good time, but it's when I went out to get my guns unloaded, my friend actually came up and told me that I had a record, and I was like, oh my gosh, I had what? And her name's Riata Mullen. She actually shoots. But yeah, it was really cool. I was like, I was holding her hand, I was shaking, I was like, oh my goodness, this is so cool. So Sick. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, you mentioned you were nervous and things of that, but was there a moment, and maybe not for that one, but just in general, where, you know, you were confident coming into the arena? You know, obviously, you know, the age difference definitely was nervous there, but when did you start feeling confident going into arenas?
I would say when I started riding Smarty, I felt confident in who I was and how I was shooting. I would say definitely this past year, like last summer in July, is when I had a confidence boost and I was like, okay, I'm ready to play with the big dogs and I can do this.
Couple more here with Taryn Thompson. That's on awesome. Fox Sports Aberdeen, no doubt. And Hub City Radio and the Hitchin Post, in conjunction with the South Dakota Rodeo Queens, do the world's smallest stick horse rodeo at the Brown County Fair. Did you do this when you were a kid out there? And was that how the seeds were very early planted? Or is that like, Tukes, what are you talking about? Does that ring a bell to you?
So I do not remember doing it, but I am actually the Junior Miss Rodeo Aberdeen Queen. So I did help out with it last year, and I saw all those kids, and they had so much fun.
Yeah.
And even though I wasn't a part of it as like being a kid, I thought it was fun being a teenager and seeing all those kids have so much fun and winning their races on their little stick horses and just living life to its full potential.
So I'm curious, is this kind of like an all year round type thing, or do you play other sports throughout the year and things of that?
So due to my knees, I actually have really bad knees. I've had knee surgeries on both of my knees and gotten them fully reconstructed.
Oh, wow.
But horses is pretty much my life. I enjoy doing it. I have so much fun with it. I do trap shooting.
Okay.
In the spring, but I would say when you ride every single day, I mean, like, it takes up most of your day, and I wouldn't trade horses for any other type of sport.
Gotcha. Wow. I tell you what, that's interesting. The fact that you've had two bad knees and you're setting world records, it just goes to show you, it's like, I'm probably done for athletics or anything like that. No, if you pardon the pun, but you get back on the horse, good things are going to happen for you. So you mentioned you're down in Iowa now. I thought your mom said you were also out in the Las Vegas area not that long ago. What's the next couple of weeks and months look like for you?
So, yeah, I am in Creston, Iowa right now. And then in 3 or 4 days, I actually head out to Colorado. And then I'll go back to South Dakota and I will rodeo queen for a little bit. I'll be there for the Aberdeen rodeo just in next week or next week.
At the fair. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then I'll actually head out to Tennessee for another week and a half.
So what's it like, all the traveling? Is it a ton of fun for you? Do you enjoy, you know, seeing different parts of different parts like Tennessee, Las Vegas, you know, Vegas or Iowa? You like traveling?
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely an adventure, especially when you're going with a whole bunch of different families. There is so many memories made, and I mean, like, it's so much fun just seeing all of the different lifestyles and even like environments that you pass through. It's crazy.
Wow.
I mean, like, me being 16, I have seen so much, and I cannot be thankful enough for it.
I was gonna say, you've traveled more at age 16 and before than maybe I have in my entire life, and that's pretty cool. And continued success here, Taryn. Congratulations on the record here not that long ago, and good luck in Iowa and going forward. Thanks for being a part of the program. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's our pleasure for sure. Taryn Thompson here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. What an athlete. That is, we were literally texting. I'm going to give you guys kind of a peek behind the curtain. Matt and I were texting before the show, and we're like, this is a conversation. We don't know how it's going to go. We're going to talk to somebody who obviously is an expert in her field.
Yeah.
We are not experts in this field at all. And I said, sometimes those are the conversations that are most fun, and that's a blast right there. That's good stuff.
She was great. Awesome. Like I said, the first time I really ever saw anything about it was this morning when I checked out that video. I'm like, this is pretty crazy how fast she was able to do it. And she, you could tell, is just super confident with her abilities, and just a pretty cool story, you know, dealing with some knee injuries and things of that. And here she is setting world records. That's insane.
That's pretty dope, as the kids say nowadays. I mean, she's a little bit younger, so I'll use the parlance of their times. It's pretty
I feel
dope.
Like dope would is all right to use there.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I feel like that's a very young term.
Yeah. I'm not on TikTok, but, you yeah. know, I feel like that's a big thing for the kids. Do the kids say that? Do the kids still say that stuff? Anyways, big congratulations to her, and good luck going forward, no question. All right, we're going to talk some Twins baseball next. Cody Christie, he'll be joining us on the phone line. Stay tuned. Good to be with you on this finally Friday installment of the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420, 98.5. Does this music bed ring a bell to you, Cobra?
A little bit. In the back of my mind, Captain. What is it, Brad Paisley?
No, this is Jason Aldean.
Jason Aldean.
A little Jason Aldean for your listening pleasure. And the reason I'm playing it is because the song is called Burning It Down.
Not Burn It.
There you go. That's exactly what the Minnesota Twins are doing right now. Is Cody Christie of Twins Daily. He joins us. And, Cody, you understood the reference, right? You knew the song, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jason Aldean.
Burning It Down. There you go. So, Cody, I'll leave you the floor, I guess, to start. A pretty wild last 48 hours for the Minnesota Twins. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think much of the speculation going into the trade deadline was that the Twins were going to be somewhat active. You know, they had quite a handful of impending free agents. This team has come out very flat out of the All-Star break, yeah. Lost a series to the Rockies and the Nationals, and it looked like, you know, let's trade off some of those pieces. But it turned into something much, much different, like you said, over the last 48 hours, with the team not only dealing away all but one pending free agent, but also shedding the salary of Carlos Correa, and trading multiple guys with multiple years of team control left. Their bullpen, not sure what's left out there. You guys might be able to go try and suit up tonight in Cleveland if you're interested. I think they're looking for a few arms. I it's a franchise-altering day. I think it's something that traces back even to last year's collapse. I think this team, this front office, had some conversations in the winter about, like, do we want to reset this roster? I think they looked at the roster and decided, hey, let's try and run it back. There were some good moments last year, and we saw brief signs of that in the first half of this season. But I think the decision was made that we need a hard reset on this team, on this roster, on this franchise, and the trade deadline provided that opportunity, and so they'll go from here.
What would you say is the most shocking part about it, Cody? Is it the fact that they traded 10 players away? Was it a specific trade, or just kind of the overall deadline itself?
Yeah, I think if there had been no rumors out there about the Correa deal in the days kind of leading up to the deadline, I think that would have been a shocker for sure. I think the Louis Varland trade, a guy who is making the minimum – and has like 5 years of team control left.
Yeah, that one doesn't make any sense away. To me. That one makes no sense to me, the Louis Varland one.
I think that I feel like they got two very good prospects for him. I feel like they got more for him than they did for Griffin Jacks. But, you know, that'll kind of, we'll see how that plays out over time, I guess. But, I think it was for Twins fans, it just felt like they kept coming, right? You know, like one after the other, and it stretched all the way until the deadline. And so I think that was what was probably most surprising, for sure, is just that they kept coming and coming and coming.
Yeah, no kidding.
They're probably like, when's this thing going to end?
Is it 6 o'clock
yeah.
yet?
Yeah.
Holy moly. Yeah, it just kept on going and going. It was like an Energizer Bunny commercial. Cody Christie joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Cody, of course, there with Twins Daily. So it's kind of a dark day in that regard, at least in theory anyway. You know, let's just say all of these trades end up working out, and this might be we go back in 5-10 years down the line and say, wow, that was a, like you mentioned, a franchise-altering day, but maybe it works out for the best. Is there anybody in particular that they've brought in that you're optimistic about or looking forward to saying, you know, this guy could be a real difference maker maybe sooner rather than later, or maybe it's going to take a couple of years for him?
Yeah, I I mean, with this amount of trades, I think there's so many players that you can point to. When you look back at the Yoan Duran trade, the Twins actually got probably the second highest ranked prospect nationally that was traded at the deadline. His name is Eduardo Tate. He's a catcher, but seen as a guy with like really good power potential. He's only 18 right now, and he's at high A already, so he's been pushed pretty aggressively. He's the youngest player that will be in the on the high A roster for Cedar Rapids. MLB Pipeline already ranks him as the Twins' fourth best prospect. But again, as an 18-year-old at high A, we're probably not going to see anything from him for quite a few years as far as getting to the major league level. And he's a player type that's tough to evaluate, because if he can't stick at catcher, you know, his defensive home eventually, I mean, could he play some first base, or does he end up only being a DH? It's a kind of a tumultuous defensive profile that can, if you can't catch, where do you move from there? So I think he's a pretty exciting prospect that people will watch out for. They weren't just trading for guys that were lower, like far away from the big leagues either. They got a guy from Philadelphia, Mick Abel, who has some major league experience. They got Taj Bradley from Tampa Bay and the Griffin Jacks deal, who's pitched at the major league level. And so they were getting guys with an eye on to next year too. They weren't just trading for a bunch of like teenagers and saying, well, in 5 years we might be good again. Mm-hmm. They were trying to balance upside with current value as well. And so I think we're going to see multiple of these guys over the next couple of months here. And you're going to see a lot of guys that get called up from AAA that are going to be given another opportunity. Guys like Jose Miranda, Edward Julian have been down at AAA trying to work their way back. Julian's been hitting very well, actually. So I'm kind of excited for him to get back up here. Luke Kuechel's on his rehab assignment and should be back up with the Major League Club, if not this weekend, very shortly. And then, you know, we have some other young pitchers, David Festa, Zebby Matthews, Simeon Woods-Richardson, that are kind of in that second year. And they have something to prove, too. You know, like, can they be part of this rotation long term? Can they kind of get their innings count up here in the second half? Are they healthy? Matthews and Festa have dealt with some shoulder stuff this year. And so I think their fans might be a little upset with how yesterday went down, but I think there's definitely things that fans can watch over the next couple months too.
Hey, Cody, did you see the MLB on Fox tweet out the Joe Ryan to the Red Sox, and then they deleted it 2 minutes later? Did you see that?
Yeah, I think that the Athletic actually just posted a story here in the last hour or so kind of talking about that Joe Ryan. It sounds like the Twins' ask from them was pretty high, as it should be for one of the American League's best starting pitchers. And so I'm wondering if the Twins and the Red Sox will maybe revisit that trade in the offseason. And try and figure out something when they're not kind of – I think the Twins had a lot of irons in the fire yesterday, and a Ryan deal I think is going to take a little bit more time to develop. And I think there were some close conversations, and that they just didn't have enough time. The timer ran out before the deal could happen. But I wouldn't be surprised, if the Red Sox and Twins, they take the rest of this season, reevaluate this winter, and maybe a Ryan deal gets done to them after that.
So what would you say post trade deadline is the biggest like question mark? To me, it kind of seems like it could be the bullpen. Is that fair?
Yeah, because we don't know who or what is going to be
out there.
Like,
yeah.
I don't even know who they're going to be giving like save opportunities to. Cole Sands, maybe. It sounds like, and I mean, they've been doing this a little bit over the last few weeks. They they might be doing more what are like bullpen games, where you maybe you start with an opener and then you have a guy like Travis Adams come in and pitch three or four innings, and then you go to some other bullpen guys, and maybe they'll kind of do some like piggyback starts where you have like one guy pitch three innings and then another guy comes in and pitches three innings, and then you hand it over to like one inning guys too. I think they're going to use the next 2 months to kind of be creative. They're going to, they have a lot of young guys that might be pushing up against like innings limits. Mm-hmm. And so maybe by limiting them to only three or four innings, they can kind of stretch them out over the next 2 months. So I think our traditional idea of a bullpen isn't going to be what the Twins are doing for August and September. It's going to be, okay, let's get this guy in, get him some work. Let's see if we can shift it to another guy. So I think it's going to look a little bit different than, you know, here's our seventh inning guy, here's our eighth inning guy, here's our ninth inning guy.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit different. That is absolutely the case, no question. Cody Christie joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Probably the final one before we get you out of here. We're kind of up against the clock a little bit, Cody. The shelf life of Rocco Baldelli, they picked up his option here, what was it, about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, something like that. We were both a little bit surprised. Were you surprised on that? And it's just kind of one of those deals that even before the season began, we thought this may be kind of a hot seat moment season for him, perhaps.
Yeah, and, you know, the news kind of broke about that of Baldelli's contract, like you were saying, more recently. I'm wondering, you know, how long ago did they really pick it up? I think they didn't want him being on a lame duck contract. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, realistically, as soon as this team gets sold, whether it's before the end of the season or into the off season here, I mean, new owners might come in and clear house anyway. They might want a whole new front office. They might want to bring in their own front office, and then that front office is going to want to pick out who the manager is and stuff like that. So it might have been a little bit surprising for sure, especially since the Twins, you know, four out of the last 5 years now are going to have missed the playoffs. But I think under the Polads, right, they very much have liked, you know, keeping the same guy kind of in those leadership spots. We saw that with, you know, Ron Gardenhire, with Tom Kelly, you know, they stayed in those spots until they couldn't be there anymore. And yeah. So I think there's a possibility of change even with his option being picked up with the ownership situation still in flux.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Follow him there on X at Nodak Twins Fan, and also there as well at Twins Daily. Cody Christie joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Thanks for being a part of the program tonight, and we'll see you in Cleveland as you lace them up and maybe see if you can eat up a couple innings tonight.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Yeah, likewise to you. That's Cody Christie here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He makes a very salient point. It's like, well, who's going to be the guys out there? And I don't know. It's going to be a very interesting second half of the season for the Twins.
Well, it's not going to be great is what it is. They're building for the future. And, you know, you can just kind of scrap the wild card off the plate. Yeah. They're not making a serious run at it. With no names in the bullpen, you got really no chance. I mean, my Orioles did the same thing yesterday. Not to that extent, but they traded about, you know, 7-8 players as well. So you saw some teams yesterday in Major League Baseball really make a decision. Like the San Diego Padres, they kind of are going all in. They brought in Mason Miller. They brought in Ryan O'Hearn. They brought in Ramon Laureano. They're trying to make a push. Teams like the Twins, the Orioles, they're selling and just building for the future. Why I'd be frustrated if I was a Twins fan or an Orioles fan is like, you know, you made the playoffs a couple years ago, 2 years ago. The Orioles won 191 games over the last 2 years. Twins won made it to the ALDS 2 years ago, and now we're looking forward to 2029 and 2030 instead of 2026. That's tough for the fan base, for sure.
Very frustrating. We'll wrap up this Friday installment of The Hub after this. Brief segment for your Finally Friday here on the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Daily sports talk show. Would encourage you to smash that like button, share the stream. A really fun discussion with Taryn Thompson from earlier, as well as Cody Christie. And would encourage you again to smash that like button, share the stream. Helps out with the algorithm. Class A State Tournament. Day 3 in the books. Check out HubCityRadio.com for details. As that was yesterday, today is day 4 with a couple of elimination contests, perhaps. And also, Brown County Speedway tonight, it's Kids Night, presented by Ken Superfair Foods. Would encourage you to swing on by Brown County Speedway tonight, because this is it for the next couple weeks. You've got Fair Week, of course, in 2 weeks, but they shut it down the week before Fair Week. So this is about the next 2.5-3 weeks or so, your last chance to go before the season championships.
So go on out tonight. You know, like you said, last night of racing for a little bit.
Until, I believe, the 22nd of August before the season championships. It's Kids Night there at Brown County Speedway, presented by Ken Superfair Foods.